We have got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about everything you need to know about virtual assistants, where to find them, how to train them, how to onboard them. It is a great conversation that we have with Adam Patterson. Also, you can check out this interview on our YouTube channel, see what we're all about, but you go to Dave Sullivan Roofer Show. We've got the show posted up there. Make sure you subscribe if you could, and share it, like it, comment. All is appreciated. Now, you may have heard this before, but there's a reason why I'm replaying it now. Because I'm on vacation. And this is what a virtual assistant can do for you. They can help you run your business, run it efficiently so you can do the things that you want to do. We talk about a lot on this show about the two-week vacation. How do you get away to take a two-week vacation with your family? Oh, I could never do that. My business would fall apart. Well, that's a problem. You don't have a business. You've got a job. And this is why we are always talking about how to set up your business in a way that it does not rely on you. So you want to check this out. This is a great replay of one of my favorite interviews because it's so important to build your business. You build to sell. And from day one, and that's how we set it up. That's what our mastermind groups and coaching are all about. So let's just get into it.
Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time.
But before we do, I want to thank our new sponsor, and that is Proline. You know I love these guys. The biggest limitation in most roofing businesses is follow-up. I've seen it 1,000 times during my career. Roofers lose millions of dollars because they don't pick up the phone and call their leads. That's why hundreds of roofing companies choose Proline, the CRM that sells more jobs. It automates all that follow-up for your reps so that you can cancel follow-up Fridays and focus on growing your business. Just go to useproline.com. Check out their website. It is great. You're going to want to set up a demo. This CRM is amazing. Does some amazing things. So check it out. And if you like what you see, use my promo code DAVE50. And that's all caps. Be sure you do that. And you get 50% off your first month's service. Or you can go down to the link below in the show notes. All right. Well, let's get into the show. Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and also the Roofer CFO, where I help roofing contractors with the financial end of their business. I do it on a fractional basis. And sitting next to me is John Delorier, Savannah, Georgia. And we've got a great interview today with Adam Patterson of SMA Support. SMA provides an awesome service that so many contractors need. And that is they hire, train, and provide virtual assistants that really can help you run the nuts and bolts of your business. John's used them for, I think, a couple of years, loves them. So rather than me try to explain this, let's hear it from John.
Yeah. So we get a lot of questions about what's a virtual assistant? Are virtual assistants good? And what I view SMA, virtual assistants, and how SMA basically trains all the people is a much higher level virtual assistant because they're a dedicated team member. They understand your business. There's a phenomenal onboarding process that actually helped me. I had my whole process written out. Everything was, I'm just going to be awesome. I'm going to teach them everything. But what ended up happening was that the SMA team actually helped me improve my process. So that was a huge, huge advantage. They understand the roofing business. They understand small business and they understand how to make, hey, you got this process. Let's make it even better. So that would be the next step in virtual assistants. Other than that, hiring a full-time in-house person, which there can, I've had that as well. I actually prefer using SMA virtual assistants because of a number of reasons we can get into that. Kathleen is our dedicated team member, but she has a backup with Alan, who's her manager, if she ever gets sick or goes on vacation. There's a number of reasons. I rambled a lot about SMA. If you can't tell, I'm sold on how SMA operates. I love what Adam and the team are doing. I think that it's the way that most roofing contractors should grow at least a portion of their business is hiring someone from SMA.
Well, not only do you love it, but we have five contractors in our mastermind group that use SMA, and it's been fantastic for them. Now, I want to go back to episode number 373. We had Chris Dyroll on the show, and we talked about everything you needed to know about virtual assistants. And we got into this, and he works with SMA to really do a lot of onboarding and so forth. So let's just get into it. And Adam, let's hear from you. We've been doing all the talking here. So give us your story, your background, and give us a little more information about SMA support.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. I appreciate it. And you can do all the talking as much as you like. It's wonderful for my vocal cords, and makes my life a little easier. So I am Adam Patterson. I'm here with SMA as one of our directors. I actually came into the roofing industry as a bit of an outsider a handful of years ago. So I'll tell you the story. I worked owning a consulting agency with a handful of business partners here in the Northeast in Boston. We worked predominantly with venture capital and private equity funds on what we refer to as high growth, high velocity businesses. So said differently, those are companies they wanted to grow top line revenue by 300% or more in a 3-year or less period. Myself and my partners would get instituted to build kind of the operating strategy, the go-to-market strategy, the revenue strategy, the talent strategy to hit these real accelerated growth outcomes. So I got pointed to roofing and actually SMA 4 or 5 years ago. I was speaking at a conference and I had a gentleman who approached me and said, "Hey, what y'all are doing in software is very cool. You should know it'd work much better in the roofing space." And candidly, Dave, I kind of laughed at first, right? I thought it might. I'd look pretty cool in a Lamborghini, but I can't drive stick, right? So I'm not going to get terribly far. Dix took some time, though, to do a little research, to meet some innovative thinkers in this space. One of those gentlemen, Joe Hoffman, our founder at SMA, who owns Hoffman Weber Construction in Minnesota, and kind of stored in the back of my mind what he was doing with this unique agency and this unique company. Kind of gave him some guidance at that time to say, "Hey, we'd tweak this, and this," right? I worked then over the last couple of years hand in hand with a roofer in the Midwest, growing from, you know, close to $60 million in top line revenue to a little north of $150 million in top line revenue, all organic, really getting my hands in the nuts and bolts and engine of how the best, most growth driven roofing companies run. And I kept noticing this one pattern, which was forcing folks to do work that kind of anybody could do and pulling them away from significant value add activities, things that really moved the needle to drive the business forward, right? Things that were revenue generating, things that could accelerate outcomes, that could improve homeowner experience, it could create responsiveness in the way that we dealt with homeowners and folks raising their hands in the field. And so at the end of my journey there, I kind of went back to Joe and said, "I think you've got the secret weapon in roofing, and I'm not sure you know you have it." And I've been here with the SMA team for about a year, kind of scaling this thing up and having a bunch of fun. So,
I love it. Well, one of the things we talk about in the show all the time and in our coaching is we start with building a business to sell. And it doesn't mean you need to sell it, but we need to build out a business where, and you're from private equity, so this will be a great conversation that we're going to have is what private equity is looking for, because this is what we talk about is how do you build a business of value that just does not rely on the owner on his own. And this is where so many contractors struggle. They're doing everything. We hear about the, you know, wearing all the hats and putting out fires all the time. And this is the problem, is they don't think about this. How do they build a business of value? You've got to have a process, and what they do very poorly is really running the organization they're building. I call it the inside sales for the most part. And this is where, John, you've got this thing so dialed in about your process. We talk about it on the show all the time. So I think rather than me talk about it, John, let me turn it over to you and let's talk about how you use SMA, because it is awesome. I mean, I love that idea. For me, outsourcing is the best. The fewer employees that I can have in-house, the better it is for me. And I had 80 plus employees in my roofing business, and it's crazy. And I really think this is the way that you do it. This is the way you build a business and set it up. I mean, I love this program. So, John, run with it.
So what is your why? We talk about this a lot. We heard this for years. What's your why? Okay, so you got to know that. You have to know what you want. How do you want your day to run? How do you want your week, your month, your year? What are your goals? You have to know that. If you don't know that, it's just kind of pointless to think about anything else. So figure that out first. Do a one-page business plan with us. Scribble it on your own napkin. I don't care. So figure out your why so you know what the structure of your company is going to look like. And how do you want your day to look like? So what I want for my business, for Peach Roofing, I want everyone on my team to be really, really satisfied and happy every day. I want not just to be a drudge just to come to work. I'm going to retain people so they know that their role in the company is meaningful. We're helping customers. We're doing a good thing. We're building our communities in a better way. I also don't want people doing things that they don't like or they're not good at. There's a book that I read a long time ago by Michael Hyatt. It's called The World Class Assistant, and they talk about virtual assistants. And that's kind of where I was put onto virtual assistants in general. Somebody who works remotely, who has a specific set of tasks that help you not just survive, but actually thrive. So that's two different things. You want every member of your team to not just like do the thing and then go home, or do the thing and then shut off their computer. You want to inspire each team member to... Kathleen is amazing. She will take something that I say based on the culture that we have set, and she will just expand on it. Like, hey, this would be cool if we did this thing with social media. And then she'll schedule all these posts on all these things that we... And it makes a huge impact because we have more attention for our company. Or... let's work on a script, and these are the things that we should say. And then she'll change it so that it's much more meaningful to the customer, or give suggestions. Hey, we should do this in this situation so that the customer has a better experience. That's the type of individual that you get with SMA. Is Kathleen's an integral part of our team. Like, there's no doubt. That's how I view a good virtual assistant. You have to, as a owner, you have to know what your why is. You have to understand the process that you think you want, and then you have to work with someone who helps you improve that process all the time. Because, Dave, you say all the time, oh, you got it dialed in. Well, I never feel like I have it dialed in. I will always think that I have to do more and more and more and more and get it better and better and better. Because if I'm thinking about my team and then our customers, then I will always try to improve. And so that's how I view SMA or virtual assistants in general. I also, you know, there's certain goals that I have, and that adding people like that to our team are going to help us achieve those goals in a more affordable way, efficient way. It's not just the affordability. There is a huge advantage to having somebody who works remotely if you train them correctly. They're very focused. There's no distractions. There's no one coming in the office. Hey, they have to be friendly. No, then they're taking their time away from whatever they were doing in that moment. And I've seen that in real life. I've had in-house people, and it's totally true. I got to go get my kids from the school thing, or I got to go to the bus stop, or none of that. That doesn't happen because you have somebody who's very focused and much more efficient than traditional in-house receptionist or inside salesperson that has all kinds of issues going on. So that's all I'll say for right now. I've got a lot more to say, but initially, that's what my thought of virtual assistants and how SMA fits into my business.
I just want to take a minute and thank our sponsor, and that is Ruby. Ruby Receptionists. They've been a sponsor of the show for years, and they are a great service that every contractor should use. They will answer your phone remotely. They answer it with a professional, friendly voice. All the receptionists are U.S.-based, and it is seamless. It's not like these answering services you got at your dentist. I mean, they cannot tell the difference, and they have a script that they use, and they ask all the questions, the right questions to pre-qualify those prospects. So you're only dealing with true buyers. This is the first touch your prospects have with your business, so it is so important that you leave a great first impression. If you're rolling these calls over into voicemail, they're not going to leave a message. They're going to go to the next contractor where they can get a live person because they've got questions, and they want answers, and they want them fast. So stop wasting money by missing all these leads, and check out Ruby at ruby.com/roofershow. And tell them Dave sent you. Oh, Adam, I forgot you were even here. You know, sorry about that.
No, actually, Johnny, you said something really important there, which is, you know, what you're talking about, you're describing is an engaged employee. And I think a lot of times there's a misnomer or misunderstanding. We think that an engaged employee is someone that's highly productive. An engaged employee is someone that, you know, delivers great results. And, you know, those are symptoms of an engaged employee, but that's not really what an engaged employee is. An engaged employee is someone who's emotionally committed and connected to your business and your business outcomes, right? And that's one of the critical things that we build into our, you know, our process with an SMA, the way that we kind of design our teams, go through the selection process for the folks that work directly with our contractors. We use things like behavioral and cognitive testing in the front end of our application process. So we understand who our people are, and we understand what kind of work kind of fuels their soul and lights their spirit, right? So that way, when we have a contractor like yourself that comes in, we can look at that job and kind of look at those tasks in that role and say, Kathleen, I think you'd be a great fit here, right? And the result is downstream, you see someone who is, you know, feels like she's a part of the Peach family and wakes up and thinks about Peach. And on the weekend has ideas that come to her and she puts them in a notepad about Peach, right? And those are all symptoms of someone who's engaged and connected, emotionally connected, emotionally committed to your work and to your outcomes. So
what I love about it is that, you know, and you hit on it there, is that you do the hiring of these people, okay? And you're hiring the right people and the training, because both of those things, contractors usually suck at. We constantly hire the wrong people. We're not sure what we're looking for in the first place. So we don't know what we want, and we end up getting somebody that's just totally mediocre. Now we've got these people. Well, I'm too busy to train you. You figure it out, type of thing. Well, that's not going to be successful. And what you guys do, which is great, and I think, John, you were talking about this, where they helped you develop your process. We talk about building a process out on this show every week, you know, step by step by step. And this is how you run it from the time that that phone is answered. And then take that information, we put in our CRM, we move it down through the pipeline all the way to sale. We've got a sale. How do we now provide that 5-star customer experience for our customers? And that starts off with communication, you know, ordering materials, getting permits, solving problems. That good communication of, hey, Mrs. Jones, you know, we're going to have a crew out at your house tomorrow. You know, this is what you need to do to prep and these kind of things. Jobs complete, all the way to getting that 5-star review from them. So it's really awesome process. So tell us a little about the onboarding.
Yeah, so we, roofing is a wonderful industry. Wonderful. It's also a wonderfully unsophisticated industry on the whole, right? So we talk with a number of roofers who, you know, have an idea of a goal in mind and need some help in developing kind of the strategy, the best approach in order to get there. So some of the things that make us very different, we are not cookie cutter. Said differently, I'm not going to tell you exactly how to do this thing, and this is the way that we're going to do it. If you want to do receivables with us, it's got to be like this. What we try to do is understand your goals and outcomes and then work backwards from that to develop a best approach in creating repeatability, structure, right? Something that, you know, you don't ever have to think about. Is this aspect of my business going to work successfully? So we go through decision mapping, right? Hey, if then, if the homeowner says this, then what do I say next, right? And think about externalities, the things that, you know, you might run into in one out of every 250 phone calls, but we want to know exactly what to do if we get one of those 250 phone calls, and how you want that process handled. And we make a lot of suggestions as well, right? So as John is talking about, you know, I went in thinking this is exactly how I was going to do it, and I knew, you know, that approach. Sometimes those suggestions come directly from us to say, hey, we have the advantage of working with over 100 roofers in the U.S. Something we see work really well is this. Have you thought about that? Right?
Right.
Sometimes it's just a matter of talking out loud and hearing yourself. I've had some wonderful ideas come to me in the middle of the night. And then I put pen to paper when I get up in the morning and I have to confront those ideas. And they're not as great as they sounded in my dreams.
What the hell was I thinking?
Right? So you go just the exercise of mapping, kind of, here's my plan, here's my approach. This is what I'd like to do. This is how. Typically, we go through that process. We begin it with what we refer to as a know your partner call, which is what's all the work you want to get done? How do you want that work done? And we go back and we build a decision tree. We build training. We build, get your buy-in and say, this is exactly how we want it done. At that point, we align your team. We train your team. The last phase of our implementation process is what we call nesting. And it's where we watch every single thing that team member does all day long so that we can be sure they're doing it right. And if and only if you say at the end of that typically 3 or 4 week period, I'm comfortable, I think this looks really good, they know what they're doing, then we say they're going to, they're free birds, so to speak. So at that point, you know, they're overseen by, and this is an important note, right? As you're talking, Dave, here's the difference kind of in cost. You know, we're sort of nominally cheaper than hiring similar staff here in the U.S., but what you're not getting if you're hiring that staff in the U.S. is, you know, a junior operations manager like Alan, so that if that person calls out sick, there's someone else to do the work. Redundancy built in the talent pool, so that if Godzilla climbs out of the ocean to eat that team member, there's someone else to hop in long term and do that work. Alan's boss, so you know, Mary to oversee Alan, and Alan and Catherine, gonna two layers of management to oversee the things that happened, to audit the things that happened, to listen to the phone calls, to look at the work product. A QA team of 12 people that look at things like screen captures and screen recordings and call recordings and things to ensure that things are happening exactly the way you want them to happen each and every time. Again, the goal here is I don't want to worry about whether or not this gets done really quickly, really efficiently, and really successfully, right? And if all of those things that, what I call that operating noise in my business, was taken off of my plate, how could I reprioritize my time to do things that really move the needle and enable me to grow my organization? So
you're helping us after we get going, we're up and going, and you're kind of monitoring and helping things along, getting, you know, further suggestions and helping us support this. So I'm not constantly having to stay on top of these people. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, you should never even think about saying that to these people. I will tell you this. It should look like a partnership, right? So you're going to want to stay in touch. You're going to want to communicate. You're going to want to give feedback. You're, you know, going to want to make recommendations on changes and work alongside them. Exactly what John describes. I want to build a statue of John because that's our ideal client. Someone who can kind of yes, come to the table, come with ideas, you know, empower their team member to bring ideas forward to say, have you thought about this? Are we thinking of that? Kind of work through tangibly. And, you know, you get the best product as an output. But what John doesn't have to do is worry about whether or not Catherine's doing the work the way that he wants it done. Right? So
it's beyond that, though. It's what I said before is like, it's surviving or thriving. And it's like, you definitely shouldn't be worrying about that person. It doesn't matter if they're in-house, doesn't matter if whatever. You need to have an engaged employee, right? I mean, it's like I almost have to fight Kathleen to stop doing more. It's like that's somebody who, you know, the monthly reports are a huge deal. There's accountability. There's showing, like, there's a number of things that you guys do that maybe other people do, but you do it at such a level that it's able to be consumed by me very easily to understand the different KPIs maybe that I'm not tracking in ProLine or other CRM. But we record all the phone calls too, but it's good to have like that quality control to understand, hey, how can you do things better? Because it does matter. Like those little things do matter. They do actually help move the needle to help us be more successful so we can sell more roofs, so we can help more clients. I'll just go into what Kathleen does for my business because I get this question so much. And everyone can do it differently, but this is what I'll try to be as brief as possible. Kathleen answers all of our phones. Not everybody does that, I know, but she answers all of our phones in ProLine so we can track every phone call, and then she pre-qualifies all those leads too. It's a huge deal. She also is doing any kind of lead source, any website form, any other, you know, Yelp, whatever it is. She is also very timely responding to those, all those leads. Super important.
Let me jump in here real quick because I've got a question, you know, and this is be a concern that I could see coming up. How do the customers like her from a standpoint that she's foreign born, you know, from the Philippines?
It was my only concern, my only question when I was onboarding with SMA. And what I heard was the way you guys train SMA team members is they dream in English. And that was like, that's all I need to know. And it's totally true. Yes, Kathleen has an accent. We're in the South. We're in Savannah and Athens, Georgia. It's, you know, there's not a lot of Filipino people in our markets. So yeah, it can be a concern. But if you have somebody trained well that understands the right script and is still providing value, everyone loves Kathleen. They're like, I love, all of our customers are saying it all the time. Kathleen's so nice. She's so great. She's so helpful. I think you're not going to win over everybody. We've never had a concern yet. And she's been with us over a year now, I think, a year and a half almost. And so, yeah, I can't speak for every market, but we're in the South. It's traditionally, without saying it, it's not traditionally great for that. But we have a set up a process that helps her be successful and helps our customers really love her. So that's why she's answering the phone. She's responding to everything, even on social media. We have a huge storm right now, Hurricane Debbie coming through. Everyone's like, hey, call or text Kathleen. That's what we do. We set her as the scheduling logistics guru that she's helping all those customers the same way. So that's the first thing she does is really, really important. Pre-qualifying all the potential leads, turning them into actual appointments. She's scheduling appointments. She's starting after they're pre-qualified. She's ordering Eagle Views or GF Quick Measure. So she's got the measurements ordered. She's starting the ProLine proposal. Once the sales rep, the production manager, whatever you want to call them, go to the house, they're already prepared. Kathleen has prepared them to be there so that they have an understanding of what they're looking at. After we sell the job, she moves right into the role of production manager. She's reaching out to subcontractors. She's scheduling materials. She's checking weather. She's reaching out to the same homeowner that she's already had a connection with. It's a really, really important thing for us is that I love that Kathleen is there in the beginning. She's there after the signed contract and through the production process. Now we have, you know, the sales teams there communicating and they do a great job communicating, but they still have that person in the back of their mind they can always count on, and that's Kathleen. And so by the end of the process, if Kathleen's sending a ProLine automation or she's just asking in general for a 5-star review, the customer's built the relationship with her the whole time. And so we're getting paid faster. We don't have much AR at all. And we get reviews way easier because we have that person who is committed to that customer experience from the very beginning all the way to the end. So I just get that question a lot, and I'm just letting people know this is what happened. Yeah.
Well, you're describing a business, contractors that we work with so often, they would have three people doing that one job. So you're telling me that she does all of this, and where I would see the big advantage is that it's seamless, that she takes that customer on that 5-star journey that we talk about all the time and all the way through the end. And really, if you're doing that right, you're teeing up that 5-star review. So it's easy to get, and making sure that we have customer satisfaction, and what you've talked about all the time and what you tell me, people are just thrilled.
Yep. And so as we grow, we've been in business, it's our 9th year. We're starting it like next week will be our 9th year. We will either add an additional person for inside sales only, or we will add another campaign for a different person. They'll do the same thing Kathleen's doing right now and take them all the way from point A to point Z, or we will add a two-person team to do the same process, because there are different skill sets for inside sales versus production management. So it's great though, because you guys at SMA, you understand, again, personality types are a really big deal. Let's be honest. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be training people. I'm not going to have the time to do that. I may have an idea of what I want, but I'm not going to take the time, or I can't take the time.
And you're not very good at it.
No, I'm terrible at that. I don't. That would not be good.
You said something earlier, Dave, you know, thinking, you know, that sounds like three people and a lot of the roofing contractors that we work with. And it's an important note. I tell folks this all the time. For the cost of, you know, one U.S. hire, you can build about a team of 2 to 3 people in the Philippines that'll have a productivity output of 6 people here. So our folks are about 2 to 3 to 1 in terms of their work output. And, you know, again, a lot of that is, could you imagine hiring someone in the U.S., paying them $20 an hour, and then saying, I'm going to take a screen capture of your computer every 2 to 3 minutes to see what you're doing? That person would last maybe 3 or 4 days. Our teams overseas actually love it because we bonus and promote them based on catching them doing good work, right? Mm. So they are in favor of having their calls listened to. They're in favor of having their work audited. If they get caught doing good work, they're going to get incremental bonuses. And again, these are things in the back end that are having to give spot bonuses to staff. I mean, you know, there's both the intrinsic motivation. I feel connected to my work. I feel that it fuels me. I think it's something that I'm good at. I can do this for long periods of time. You know, the extrinsic's important too. Like I feel recognized and monetarily rewarded for the work that I'm doing and contributing.
Mm-hmm.
So we manage all of that aspect of managing people, which is no one's favorite thing in the world. And you know, the output is a really productive and positive work output. So,
well, I always talk about, you know, I'm out here in California, so I don't know squat about storm business, but I got to think that, you know, we've got so many listeners that are in storms. The amount of screwing around that these guys have to do, these sales guys, from what I understand, is just, you know, a killer. So, you know, and these are things that have to be, you know, low value tasks. And I would think this would really be helpful for those that have a sales team of guys running around that are spending their time screwing around with all these little nickel and dime things.
Every one of them. And it's I worked with a couple years with a storm and restoration contractor in the Midwest. You know, as I get back to like my hypothesis in this industry and where I originally came from and kind of velocity sales orgs, there's a principle, right? That you should have your sales rep spending 80 to 90% of their time generating revenue. That should be it. Should be all revenue
makes generating sense.
Activity, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the more that you can prime them to do revenue generating activity, not only do they make more money, so they tend to stay with you a whole lot longer and feel more fulfilled in what you're asking them to do, they make your business a whole lot more money too, right? And ultimately, that's why I'm paying you. That's what I want. In storm and restoration contracting, there is so much room to take things off of these guys' plates and funnel them into a team that just handles, like, you know, calling to get depreciation releases, matching insurance final payments to final invoice amounts, you know, connecting with mortgage companies to ensure that the mortgage check process is okay so that we can collect receivables and we're not in debt 6 figures to our distributor while we have jobs lined up that we need to get taken care of, right? We're getting paid for jobs that we've completed in less than a week, that, you know, we're not having our reps spend 2.5 hours on hold with State Farm to get an adjuster appointment, that someone else is taking care of that for us and can see our rep schedule to know when that appointment can happen, right? Even things like calling back the day after an inspection if we don't get a contingency to sign to say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Homeowner, you know, I know that John was out there yesterday. He did an inspection. He found some damage. He didn't sign a contingency. I just want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can do correctly. Did John communicate well? Did he answer any questions? Is there a reason you didn't sign that contingency? Oh, hey, just so you know, Dave, his manager is going to be in your neighborhood tomorrow at 2 p.m. He'd love to come by and take a look with you and answer any other questions you might have outstanding. Is it okay if I have Dave come by your house while you're there? Are you going to be there tomorrow afternoon? Oh, you're not? Will you be there a little bit later in the week? Right? So there's so much revenue leakage. There's so much revenue slippage. You know, even things like repair to replace in the storm world where reps are wired, I'm just going to go sell more roofs, right? I'm going to go knock another door. that's because I got denied on my claim or I didn't like the adjuster report. And it's a whole lot easier for me to go get a new different claim than it is to kind of fight on behalf of this homeowner, right? Having an opportunity to take the lift associated with doing that work on behalf of your homeowner. And ultimately, that's why we're here, right? To advocate on their best interest and work for them, right? To a positive outcome to protect the most important investment that that family's ever going to make.
One area where contractors are really weak is follow-up. Follow-up on anything, okay? You know, follow-up to get the cash, to collect the money. Nobody, you know, they're just not good at it. Yeah, you know, I should do that. But a bigger issue is open quotes is what I call them. We make a proposal. They say, I got to think about it. We're on to the next deal. Never to be followed up again. And this is an area where I could see that it'd be so effective, so profitable for the contractor just to have somebody there that's going to follow up, take care of all those things, because we're terrible at doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And John, if I don't want to give too many secrets away here, but for a time was using Kathleen to send a video covering the quote to the homeowner. So when the homeowner got an email copy of that quote, there would be a video from Kathleen to that homeowner saying, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner. Hey, here's the quote for the work we're going to do on your roof. I want to take you through page by page so you understand what you're looking at, right? I think a lot of times in roofing, we get confused. We're not really in the roofing business. We're in the reputation business, right? That's the gum business that we're in. And we're in the customer care business, right? So, you know, our focus should be, how do I protect and enhance my reputation? And how do I extend the best service experience I possibly can to the homeowner that I'm blessed to work with?
Well, we've got Ruben in our group, John, you know, that uses SMA. And what he said the other day was he hadn't even thought about these things, you know, about some of the, you know, this process of what they could do for him. And he just really didn't have any idea. And so now the guy's being able to spend more time with his customers, spending more time with prospects, making presentations and so forth. And it's really just changed his business all around. And, you know, he's a smaller contractor and this has really made a difference in his life.
Totally agree. I mean, his story is just like mine. I mean, it's when you have an organization that really cares about, I mean, you invest all this time, effort, energy, money, personality test, all the things that you're doing in SMA. You want that person to stick, so to speak, with the contractor you pair them up with that makes the most sense in every possible way. So that's the, you know, I have actually used other virtual assistant companies and they're just like, you know, this person has the skill set because they told us and here you go, try them out. Like that's essentially how it goes for most, there's no onboarding. It's like, fill out this form. And here's the candidates and click one. And like, that's not a good plan. You need somebody who's matched up with, you know, going back to the freedom compass in that book that I read, The World-Class Assistant. You need to have people that are in what's called your drudgery zone. So things that you're not good at and you don't like to do. You need to fill those roles with somebody from SMA so that you can be more efficient in the things that you're good at, your desire zone, the things that you're good at and you like to do. You need to be doing those things and having other people who are good at the other things doing those activities every day.
Yeah, not using Upwork, you know, or Fiverr to find these people because generally that doesn't work.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say, at the end of the day too, Dave, it's in part a math equation, right? Which are, hey, I'm working 50 hours in a week. And right now, 22 of those hours are spent in my drudge zone, sifting through poop. And 28 of those hours are spent doing things that are, again, value add, revenue generating, more claims, more referrals, knocking on the day of build in neighborhoods. All right. So what if, you know, I only had 8 or 10 hours in my drudge zone and I got another 10 to 12 back where I could generate more revenue? Does that all of a sudden that mean I'm getting 3 or 4 more claims a week? Does that mean another 1 or 2 jobs a week? Right. Well, what does that mean over the course of a month? If I'm doing 8 to 12 more jobs, right? And 15 to 20 more claims and getting more leads and more responsive to the things that come in. It's the end of the day, right? It's, you know, we grow our business by focusing ourselves on making money, on generating. They can help you do it too. But anything you put in the way of that outcome You know, it's your end result is either a successful exit through a sale or, you know, growing up.
You know, that's why I wanted to come back around to where we started. That's exactly as you just said, and we can wrap up on this, but building a business of value, building a business to sell that has really can remove you from the day-to-day operation. And we talk about on the show is the two-week vacation. You know, you ask so many contractors, hey, where'd you go on a two-week vacation for the summer? You know, where'd you take your family? I could never take 2 weeks off. My business would fall apart. Well, you don't have a business. You've got a job. This is how you do that. And that's the idea of building a business of value where it just doesn't rely on you and you can start bringing these people in. You can add additional people if need be. And I think we just lost Adam. But by doing that, that's how we get out of that day to day. I think that's what you're seeing, right, John?
100%. 100%. It's definitely in our plan to have SMA on with us forever. Cameron loves SMA. Kathleen, Clay loves Kathleen. Like she's part of the team. We have no plans of like, oh, in the future, we'll hire somebody else that's in it. No, we don't. We'll stay with SMA. We'll probably add more team members from SMA to grow.
Cool. Well, I wanted to ask Adam about private equity, get into that conversation a little bit. But I think he dropped off here, unfortunately. But John, let's wrap us up.
Know your why first. Do one page business plan.
Start with why.
Go to theroofershow.com, download it, actually fill it out, think it through. Go to coffee with yourself for the couple hours on Saturday morning. That's going to help you start. And then once you've got that established, book a call with Dave, talk it through, listen to a bunch of podcast episodes that are meaningful to you. Get into our mastermind. That's, I'd say it's really, really meaningful to have friendships and industry helpful friends to move the needle, to answer your questions. It's invaluable to meet every week with people who can help you through the struggles that we know that you have. We know that I have.
I agree. Adam, hey, look who's back.
I lost internet at the least opportune time, so apologies.
Hey, no problem at all. Waiting for you to come back on. But hey, so what I wanted to finish up with, though, what I was going to ask you was, you have a lot of experience with private equity, and you know, there's just so much of this going on. It's crazy. I mean, everybody's getting phone calls, right? You know, oh, I want to buy your company and so forth. So I get these guys, it'll call me and say, oh, I'm all excited. Somebody wants to buy me out. I go, yeah, you know, there's a little more to it than that. So
yeah.
What's the latest on what's going on? Give us an update on what you see with some of these these roll-ups. Or, you know, I was involved. I talk about my experience, you know, this goes back way back. But when they had all these roll-ups going on, this is nothing new. We've done this before. Mm-hmm. And with the exception of Tecta, most all of them failed. So is this something we're going to see again, or is this time different, or what's going on?
Yeah, is this time different? No time's any all that different. Right? There's some differences, and some of those differences look like you're starting to see funds and capital involved now. That weren't involved in, we'll call it like round one and two, right? So a lot of these funds have made as much money as they possibly can in the software space, and they're looking for a new differentiated investment to make. There's some really good news about roofing. The macroeconomics of this space are incredible. I just stopped myself from using the F word, right? But if you look at the largest building booms in the U.S. history, age of materials on those roofs, the fact that there's a major residential housing shortage for the American homeowner, it's almost kind of sort of a no-fail industry at this point, right? But the outside capital coming in and different outside capital coming in gives a different perspective. Roll-ups didn't work the first time. Because as I understand it, a lot of those folks forgot that when you're buying, again, we're not in the roofing business, we're in the brand and reputation industry. And if I ask you to get rid of this brand that you spent years developing, right, what am I really acquiring? Not a whole lot at the end of the day. And I think that there's some lessons learned from that. You can see roll-ups that are, you know, part of a, so Acme Roofing, part of so-and-so exteriors experience, right, is an example. I think that is one slight moderate shift and change you'll see. There's a lot of speed capital coming in here quickly. And so, and there's a lot of bad advice out there that I see all the time. If you don't mind, I'd love to give some folks just some like automatic disqualifiers, right? So
this is different than what we see on Facebook groups, right? You know, because there's a lot of experts in that. I always follow their advice.
Yeah. So if anybody in the universe comes in and says, I can buy your business and get you through due diligence in less than 3 months, I would run as far the opposite direction as I possibly could. It's just you can't do a good thorough active due diligence process in less than 6 months. Maybe if you know you're under $2.5 million in capital, and if you are, no one's probably buying you, right? And if they are, your target acquisition is a little bit different. I want to buy you to incorporate you as a part of this brand, and you're probably going to stay on for 18 months while you tell every homeowner you've ever worked with, I'm now part of this company. But it's not really the same thing as a private equity roll up. So I would run as fast as I could from anyone that says, I can get you bought in 3 months. Don't worry about it. I'd be real hesitant about folks that say, I want to take 80-20 split. If I'm selling to private equity, traditionally I'm doing it and I'm going to defer majority ownership in the interest, but I'm going to maintain at least 40%, and we're going to work hand in hand as partners. So I tend to tell folks, if you're looking at, you know, if you've got private equity interest, I'd want to talk to, you know, hey, can you put me in touch with other folks, you know, over the last 2 years that you've invested in, like not Jerry that you just gave money to 2 months ago, who's still riding high, but like Tom, who you maybe invested in a year and a half ago, who's had a little bit more experience in working with you. I tell folks that, you know, if you're looking at private equity, it's not as much about that first round investment. It's about the turn and the exit, right? So yeah, you're going to get 100% of your pie, maybe a 5 or 6x of your EBITDA. But what's going to be more critical is 10% of like the $250 million pie that's coming in 3 or 4 years, right? And so you want to be sure that everyone has the same goals and interests in hand. We're all working towards the same outcome. We're working to the same place. That their vision of the role you play within your own organization, within your own family, by extension, is in alignment with what they have in mind. That your approach to get there is same to similar to other folks that are a part of that roll-up, right? Or if not, that they're closing gaps, i.e. we've got 8 or 9 storm and restoration contractors. We're not doing enough retail. We want to have a marquee retail investment so that we can learn a little bit more about doing retail across the rest of our business, right? Then I might feel okay. But if I've got like 8 or 9 different storm and restoration contractors that have 8 or 9 different, totally different ways that they're going to market and attacking their markets strategically, it's probably not going to work, right? We all got to kind of think and view the world in the same way for that roll-up to be successful. And that, you know, you have as close to same or similar value systems as it relates to your business, right? You possibly can, right? And value is, you know, only you can answer that. That's in your own heart. You know, you can come to learn that pretty quickly through, again, an extensive due diligence process. You know, at the end of the day, Alta, what private equity is looking for, how do I reduce risk and any identifiable risk that we come to see as we evaluate your business? You're going to get arbitraged on value. The big one, key man risk. This is why, as an owner, you do not want to be doing all the work, because they are going to slam the value of your business at the end of the day. They are not buying Dave Sullivan. They're not buying John DeLorier. They're buying your roofing company.
Exactly.
And like a key salesperson, like the selling majority of the revenue, don't want that either.
Nope. Yeah. Key man risk will kill you. So make sure that you diversify as much of, you know, who does what. Reduce your bust factor is what I used to call it, as much as you can. You are going to want to, you know, other personnel risks look like things like, are you paying too little? So if you're paying your staff or your team too little, when they come and buy your company, they say, well, yeah, your EBIT is pretty high, but that's because you're underpaying half your staff and we're going to have to normalize that after the acquisition. So I'm going to take that out of what your EBIT evaluation is. Yep. Are you paying people too much? Your EBIT is okay, but we're probably going to lose these 3 people because there's no way that we can continue to pay them at this rate. So that creates a different risk for the business than after. Are you W-2ing your employees? If you're thinking about selling your company, and you haven't W-2'd your staff, do it now. Do it in advance of even going through due diligence, because they're going to make you do it and they're going to penalize you for not doing it too, right? So it has to happen. I mean, with particularly the federal law changes that are coming, you got to get out and do it. Give everyone the same advice, right? As you're thinking about, like, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, private equity. I'm thinking about starting these conversations. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's one question, right? You have to be able to say, my business is a machine and I know how to steer that machine. I know how to improve that machine. I know how to transform that machine. I know how to manage that machine to a successful economic outcome. And here's the data that proves that, right? That's all this is. And if you can't answer any of those components of it, take a step back and figure out, okay, right, can I work with Dave to get a better understanding and line of sight to my business or where my gaps might be? What do I need to think a little bit harder about, right? Do I have some things that I can improve in terms of that economic outcome? And only go to sell when you think you've maximized what you can do alone. So at that point, then it makes sense.
That's awesome. I mean, that's what we talk about every week, is you've got to build a business of value that does not rely on you, does not rely on just certain people, that has a solid three-legged stool where you can sell work, do work, and keep score. You've got to have good financials. It starts with that. You know, if your financials are all screwed up, like so many of these companies, and you don't have 2 or 3 years of good, clean financials that make sense, you know, you've got to get that stuff together, and it takes a while. It takes a long time to get your business ready for sale. And this is what we always talk about. We start, you know, we build a sell, and that's starting from day one of building a business of value. So Adam, I could talk about this all night, all day long. I mean, this is awesome stuff. How do our listeners get more information? Because this is something that you really want to check out.
Yeah. So absolutely come check out our website. We are at estimatesupport.us. You can find us on social media. We try to give as much of the game away for free as we can. Just guidance, things that we've learned, things that might be helpful for owners, for the challenges that you're all kind of encountering today. And there's nothing I love more in this life, Dave, than a good conversation and being able to point someone in the right direction. So even if, you know, you're not ready for us today, even if you think, yeah, this is something in a year or two I might need, don't be shy, right? We love the opportunity to get to meet no good people and share what we've learned, right? It's the end of the day, we're all off to the same thing. So
talk to John. Obviously, he has a lot of experience with this. But Adam, thanks so much for coming on. Really enjoyed talking with you, having that conversation. John, always a pleasure. And we will catch you guys later. Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you're interested in learning more about the business end of your business, your finances, your financial reports, understanding what they mean, this is what I do with the Roofer CFO. And it's on a fractional basis, as much as you need it, but I'd love to come talk to you. And what we do is we review your financial statements. Each month, the end of each month, we sit down and we go through it and look at them as management reports, how to manage your business, what happened, what went right, what went wrong. This is how we can find out. We put a game plan together for the rest of the year and how to implement that. So if you're interested in help there, let me know. If you want to talk about one-on-one coaching, or you want to talk about the mastermind group, just go to the website, theroofershow.com. Go to the contact page and set up an appointment with me. I would love to talk to you. Free call, about 45 minutes or so. We'll talk about your business, see what is going on, and see if I can help you. All right. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back next week on The Roofer Show.